So Philemon, one of the pastoral epistles, or prison epistles, not pastoral epistles, the prison epistles, but in that place with Ephesians and Colossians. And it says this in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, as he talks about it here. He says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus." So he's traveling with Onesimus, and we're going to talk about him tonight. "A faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here." So he's traveling. He was with Paul. Evidently bumped into him somewhere and was saved. But Onesimus had a past, just like all of us. In fact, Martin Luther, in one of his writings, said, "We are all Onesimuses." We are all slaves to something else and got saved. And so in that sense, we are. And Onesimus was this slave who had a boss who had this man over him, Philemon, and his name means friendly. So this man named Friendly, who had this slave, and he ran away from him. We don't know all the details. Many believe he took some things that belonged to Philemon and stole them and ran away, got caught in Rome, thrown in jail with Paul and got saved. He's now freed, but Philemon could do any number of things to him and for him with instruction from the law. Philemon could kill him. Philemon could take him back and put him in hard bondage. He could just sell him. He could do any number of things to him, but Paul, in writing this letter to him, really encourages him to do the right thing the right way with the Lord in mind. And he really brings out 5 points here of why he should do the right thing. And they should be instructions for us, too, that sometimes we have these grudges, we have these holds on other people, and we want to do something to them, for them, against them, whatever. And we should have the same heart as Paul brings out here to Philemon to do with Onesimus. So it says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So this letter written about 64 AD, somewhere around there. But he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Remember, he's in prison, but he's not a prisoner of Rome. He's not a prisoner of Caesar. He's not a prisoner of any nation. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Even though he's in jail, in a hard place, he's God's prisoner. His master is the Lord. And he says, "No country can hold me. No nation, no leader can hold me. It's only Jesus that holds me. And he holds me in that state. I'm a prisoner of his. I'm his completely. I've given myself over to him." And so these bars in front of me are there, but it's not because they have Rome's name on them. It's because the Lord has put me here for a reason, for a purpose. And one of those reasons, we believe, is just so that Onesimus can get saved. What a great thing. We all come from different pasts, in different paths that we come on, and we never know who we're going to run into, who we're going to bump into, who's going to talk to us about Jesus, who's going to love on us, who's going to encourage us. And sometimes we don't know why we're running into hard times and hard issues. "Lord, why have you got me in this place? This is such an awful place. It's an ungodly place. It's a bother. It hurts. It gives me agita. It's a bother. It's just causing me great discomfort. Why am I even here?" And instead of looking to see why the Lord has us there, we just want to get out of it. And the Lord says, "Sometimes I put you in places just so that others can see what you're doing, so that they can see your life, so that they can see that you're given to Jesus, so that they can come to salvation too." We don't always know why we're in places for extended periods and in hard places for extended times. but many times we're there for somebody else. We're not just there so the Lord can minister to us, even though that's going to be one of the purposes. But one of the other purposes is that God has a plan for us to minister to those that we're going to run into. We had one gal, in fact, she came for a while, Ronnie, and when her husband was going through all the surgeries and chemo treatments and cancer treatments that he was going through, she'd sit in the hallway while he was going through the treatments and just sit on the floor in the hallway many times or on the benches that were there. And a lot of times nurses or other patients that had relatives that were there would come in and just sit down with her, and she'd just start talking to him about Jesus. She was there certainly for her husband, but she was also there to minister to those that were coming through. Because those aren't going to be the places that I go to or other pastors go to and sit on a bench in a hallway. Sometimes we do, but not that often. But many times many of you enter into those places for extended times. And you're there, not just for your spouse or for a loved one, but for those that are coming through and passing through. They need to hear that name, Jesus. And so take heart. So Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, this man Philemon, who is also saved, his name means friendly. He's in that place. He's come to faith in the Lord. He's walking with the Lord. And he's ministering. And we see a little bit about his life, and it says in verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia, which many suppose to be his wife. These are just suppositions. They aren't fact that we know of, but it is a feminine name, and we think that it is his wife. And Archippus, we see him also in Colossians, but we believe that he is the son of Apphia in Philemon. To our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the great, and to the church that is in your house. So he has a house church. He's been saved. He's walking through. He's been taught, and he has the church in his house. Evidently, he's fairly wealthy. He has slaves. He has room in the house for a church house. Many of these wouldn't be big, maybe 10, 12 people at the most. But many of them in that place had more money than some of the others and had more room. And so they had to have church in their homes rather than churches like we know of now on every corner and doing all of those things. But he says to him, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at this and we see that Paul is praying. Even though things look good, even though things aren't bad for Philemon, he certainly had a slave that stole something, evidently, and ran away. But other than that, it doesn't seem like there's anything really going on. There doesn't seem to be any instruction for the church that's in his house. It seems to be more instruction for Philemon, which is going to affect the church that's in his house. Because if Philemon's heart changes, then the rest of the house church is going to change. And they're going to see the difference. They're going to see the things that are going on. And so take heart, even in your own home, if you have things in a certain order, in a certain way, and God is working on your heart and ministering to your heart, then the things that you change in your home, others are going to see, and they're going to be affected by those things, even like Philemon is. We're going to be affected by those things. I know when our kids were growing up, we got saved when they were younger, but they saw us going through some stuff. They saw us going through a lot of stuff. and as we got saved, they saw the house change. The music changed. The radio stations changed. What we did on Sundays changed. A lot of things changed. They were affected by those things. They were our house church. You have your own house church, and God sometimes affects you and changes you so that not only you can be affected, but those that are around you, those that come into the home, those that see the home, see the differences, and they say something's different about the house now, and it's because of Jesus, and it just gives us more opportunity to witness, and Paul is praying for him even though things are good, and I don't know about you, but most of our prayers at night when we're praying or in the morning when I'm praying before I start reading are for those that are hurting, those that are struggling, those that are upset. How many times do we pray for those that are doing great? There's no need to pray for them. They're doing great. Well, yeah, there is need to pray for them. It's called preventative prayer. We have preventative medicine, or we used to. We don't anymore. Now it's just symptomatic medicine. They just treat symptoms now. But there used to be preventative medicine. So you go in and get checked, and before things happened, they would start doing things for you, give you tests and look at things and just start having you watch these things. And that's the same that's going on here. Paul is just praying preventative prayers for those that are affected by these issues and by these situations that are going on there. And how sweet those times are. Those are easy prayers, aren't they? Those are nice prayers. But they're just as important as the prayers for those that are going through things. Because you're praying for a hedge. You're praying for God's hedge around people. You're praying for God's best for people, even though they're walking and it's all right. You're praying for their health. You're praying for their direction. You're praying for wisdom for them. And those things are important, just as important as the prayers are for those that are struggling and hurting. And he says in verse 4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Paul had a huge prayer list. I can't imagine. But you think of his prayer list, and you get overwhelmed with it, and then you realize in Scripture that it says that Jesus intercedes daily for us. Can you imagine his prayer list? Wow. Lord, and we're the image bearers of Christ. So, Lord, help us to pray without ceasing. I think that's why Paul sometimes writes those things. It's just so that we have that heart, so that we're always in prayer, we're always looking, we're always seeing. We're always understanding that somebody needs prayer, that something's going on. You go into the grocery store and you see people yelling up and down the aisle and you go, there's some prayer. And you start praying. You see others that are walking through and they're just crying. There's some prayer. There's always a need for prayer in this world that we're in. Think of just the policeman in Utah in the last couple of days that got killed. And you just pray for the families. And then you think of all the spouses of policemen and women who are sending them out every day, not knowing if they're going to come home and how they're going to die. It's just, always a need for prayer. He says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. I hear of your love and your faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Evidently, this Philemon had a prayer life. He has a house church. There's love that's growing in the church. There's faith. They have faith towards Jesus and towards the saints that are with them. Everything it seems like it is going well. There's a balance there. There's good going on in the home. Excuse me. In the home there, and things seem to be going in the right direction. And he says in verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual or powerful or positive by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. And then he starts working on Philemon in this letter as to why he should take Onesimus back. Remember, Onesimus is traveling and he's coming back. They took the letters to the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, they're coming to Philemon. They're all in that same area, and they're bringing letters to the churches there. But Onesimus is coming back to his master that he stole from, that he ran away from, that he owes a debt to. Oof. How would you feel going back and having to face that? It's like when you were a kid and you know you did something wrong and your parents certainly know you did something wrong and you're going up to them. You're sheepish. You're almost nice to them because you didn't want to get in trouble. You didn't want to get beat. You didn't want to get the spanking. You didn't want to get the whatever, the grounding, the phone taken away. We didn't have phones then, so it didn't matter. But whatever it was that we were going to have that was going to be taken away, we just didn't want to do it. So we were sheepish. We were just nice to them. We were doing all of those things. But he says, for we have great joy. Here's his first point. We have great joy and consolation in your love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by you, brother. Because you're a Christian, because you're walking in this way, and you have joy, you have comfort, you have love. People are getting refreshed by you, brother. Notice he calls him brother. You're a brother in Christ. So because you're saved, then I'm looking to you to have all of those attributes, all of those gifts that God has given you. I want you to have those towards Onesimus as he comes to you. Okay, so point number one, Philemon, he's coming, but I want you to refresh him just like you refresh the others. I want you to have love for him like you do the others. Oh. Verse 8, he says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin you that which is convenient or that which is fitting. That's a better translation for that word convenient. That's that which is fitting. Paul says, I could command you because I'm your apostle, but I'm not going to command you. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to beg you. I'm going to look to you to have the right heart in this. I don't want this to be done by you out of a duty. I want you to do this out of love. I want you to do this out of faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus could have condemned him, couldn't he? But he didn't. Just like he could have condemned you and I, but he didn't. Instead, he came and saved us. And he said, that's the heart that I want you to have, that Jesus had for you, that Jesus has for Onesimus, because he saved him. Oh, I could command you, but I don't want you to do it because I'm commanding you. I want you to do it because you love Jesus and you love the brethren. Oh. It's a pretty good guilt trip, really. He's laying it on pretty good. He's giving them everything. And so he says in verse 9, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm in jail. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm the aged one, which is weird for him to say, but we saw it in Titus chapter 2, verse 2. And he says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. He says, that's where I am. And because I'm in this place, because that's what God has done in my life, and I'm a prisoner, excuse me, of Jesus Christ, I want you to have that same love towards him that you do towards the other brethren. And then the third thing, as we come into verse 10, he says, I beseech thee, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. While I was here in prison, I begot him in the bonds. He came into jail. I talked with him. He came to faith because of what was said to him. And even though he's a slave, there can be freedom in slavery. We can be free as slaves because we're free in Christ. No matter what position we're in, whether we're a slave to the things of this world, or a slave to money, or a slave to all of these other things, there's no freedom in that. But as we come to Christ, there can be freedom even in those things. Even in the midst of those ways, we can be free because of what Christ has done. And he says, this Onesimus has come. He's come in that place, and now I want you to minister to him. I want you to love on him, and I want you to just show him all those things that you have for him as he goes through his days. And it says this in Matthew chapter 11, and you know the scriptures, verses 28 to 30. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he says, Philemon, as Christ has done this for us, and we've found rest in him, and we know that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, we want that same heart for you to have for Onesimus. Oh, this is what God has done for us. And then he says in verse 11, which in time past, this Onesimus was to you unprofitable, but now is profitable to you and to me. He's a prophet to me. He's added something to me. Not that he gave Paul money, but he was a blessing to him, and because he blessed him, because he came to salvation, because he was walking with the Lord, he now adds to the comfort of Paul, adds to the peace of Paul, as he realizes, again, one of the reasons why he was in jail, that I'm here because people are getting saved. We see also when he was in the prison epistles that one of the stewards in the house of Caesar came to faith. So there's people getting saved, and so it's adding to Paul. He becomes a prophet then to him. He's profitable to him. And it's interesting, Onesimus's name means profitable. Gee, I wonder how the Lord worked that out. Well, I'm going to create this man named Onesimus. He's going to be a slave. He's going to be a dirty, rotten sinner. He's going to run away. He's going to steal. He's going to be a thief. But he's going to end up being a prophet. So let's name him profitable. It's amazing how the Lord works. So this fourth thing then is he was unprofitable to you before because he was a slave, but he was also a thief. And he also ran away from you, but now he's coming back, and he's going to be a prophet to you if you let him be. You could kill him, Philemon. You could sell him. You could get rid of him. You could cast him off. And there was slaves that happened to. There's accounts of slaves being thrown into ponds where there's man-eating fish and just killed that way. That the slaves would come back after running away and they would be killed. They could be executed in Rome. The owners could just write to Rome and say, I don't want him back, kill him. And so those accounts have been written about. But Paul says he's coming back to you. He doesn't have to, but he's going to. Oh, he wants to do what's right. And because he wants to do what's right, I really want for you to do what's right. He was unprofitable to you. And can you imagine what Paul is thinking? Because remember, there was a man who went with Paul on one of his missions trips. In fact, the first missionary journey that he went on. And he left in the middle of the missionary journey and left them high and dry and just walked away. His name was John Mark. And at the end of Paul's life, he asked for Mark to come back because now Mark is profitable. John Mark is in that place where he's a blessing to people, where he's encouraging people, where he's walking in the truth, where he's walking in faith. And Paul says, I want him back and I want him near me because I want that profit. I want to see this. I want to know this because it's profitable for me. You wonder if he's thinking about that. And there's a blessing as we come back and make things right with people. And certainly if we've got wrong against somebody, it tells us in Scripture, if you have aught against anybody, that you need to go and make it right. Notice he says, if you have aught, not if there's been aught done against you, but if you have something against them, you need to go and get it right. And Onesimus is doing that. He's walking in truth. That's a hard thing to do. I wouldn't want to do it. Oh, didn't you hate those days when you came home with a failing paper in your folder? And you had to give it to your parents because you had to have them sign it. And it's just like, I don't want to even bring this out. And you're so sweet and you're so nice. Mom, can I do the dishes for you tonight? Mom, you want me to set the table? Dad, you want me to mow the lawn? You do all kinds of things because you know you're going to get killed as soon as you bring out that paper. One of our grandsons, we had a school at one of the churches we were at. Yeah, and I think he was in second grade. I can't remember, first grade or second grade. But he had failed something. And so he had to have his mom sign the paper. He signed it for her. And the teacher knew right away, this is not mom. So I got the call. What do you want to do? Either suspension or do you want them to have clean bathrooms for the next 2 weeks? Oh, let's have them with me to clean bathrooms for the next 2 weeks. Because we know things are going to happen, but it's wonderful when things are made right. It's wonderful when things go in the right order, in the right way. And this is what's happening for Onesimus. This is what's happening for Philemon. And Paul's able to orchestrate all of this, to see all of this, but he's doing it under the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not doing it out of what he wants. He's doing it because he knows what's best for everybody involved. And the Lord is speaking to him. The Lord's showing him. And so he's bringing this out in this letter because all of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this is God-breathed. This is coming from the Lord. And this should be our hearts as we go through these things in this world, because we're all going to come in these places. This man that was unprofitable, and that was you and I, we could put our own names in here, but now we're profitable. Oh, we're profitable to the body of Christ. Lord, help us to be a prophet to those that we speak to those that we minister to every day, to those that are in our house church. Help us to be a prophet to them. Help us to bless them. Help us not to just be cursing them, but help us to be a blessing to them. Oh. And Paul says in verse 12, whom I have sent again, so this man Onesimus, I've sent him to you again. So therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Receive him as you would receive me. Paul really would love to take his place, I think. We're going to see that in a little bit, that he even offers to pay the damages for the things that he's stolen, for the things that he's done, for the time that he was missing. Paul says, if you need be, I'll pay for those things. Oh, the heart of Paul, which is the heart of the Lord. Because Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? We had a debt we couldn't pay, and he paid it for us even while we were dirty, rotten sinners. So thank you, Jesus, for paying my price. Lord, now help me to do that with others that are around me that are going through the same things. Onesimus is going back, and he says in verse 13, whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, that while I was here in jail, while I was here in prison, he would have been with me and been a blessing to me. I could have kept him, but it wouldn't have been the right thing. The right thing would have been for him to go back and make things right and to do things right. And if you want to send him back to me, praise the Lord. If you don't, that's okay too. Have him minister there in the church in your house. I could have kept him with me, but we needed to do things that were right. He could have ministered in the gospel, and I'm sure Onesimus would have rather stayed there and done those things than go back and face his boss that he had done wrong to, but he's willing to go. So the hearts are changing in all these people, and the Lord is working in all these areas, but look at all the people that it's affecting. All the people in the house church, Philemon's wife, son, who's also working in the faith, Archippus. He's working in the faith too. He's going around ministering in the churches, and he's a fellow laborer with Paul. We see that in Colossians also. But all these things are going on, and all these people's hearts are being affected as they're watching these things and seeing these things go on. And he says in verse 14, but without thy mind, I would do nothing. Without your counsel, without hearing what you have to say, I'm not going to do any of those things. I could have kept him, but I want to know what your heart is. I want to know what is the right thing. So if you want to send him back, go ahead, send him back. But if you don't, that's okay too. And remember, Philemon has this power to even set him free. He could kill him. He could set him free. Anything in between he could do. It's up to Philemon. And Paul says, it's up to you as to what would do. So, but without your mind, I'm not going to do anything. That the benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. There's the key word, is that word willingly. Do something with that. Everything that we do, we should do it as unto the Lord, but we should do it willingly. Colossians 3:23. Everything, do everything willingly, but do it as unto the Lord. Not because we have to, like Paul says, it's not of necessity. It's something that needs to be done willingly. And folks, if we can get our heart in that place, and for those of you that are still working, sometimes we work because we have to, but Paul says we should do everything that we do willingly as unto the Lord. Remember, he's not a prisoner of Rome. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm yours. And so whatever you have me doing, whatever place you have me, I want to do it willingly. I don't want to do it because I have to. I want to do it because I get to. So, Lord, help my heart. And if my heart's not in that place, if I'm doing it because I have to and I need the money, I need this job, and I'm doing it for that, then, Lord, change my heart. Help me to just look to you and do it for the right reasons. And he says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that you should receive him forever. Romans 8:28, the Lord's working everything to the good for those that are called according to his purposes. He's run away. He says, this was just for a season, but I want you to receive him back forever. Because now he's a brother in the Lord. Now he's walking with the Lord. He walked away, and maybe he did depart for a season, but he's back. Oh, how are you going to treat him, Philemon? Boy, Philemon's got a decision to make here, doesn't he? And so does Onesimus. So does Paul. But in all these things, they want what's best for the Lord. But he says in verse 16, he says, but not now as a servant, but above a servant. And not that there's any plateaus or any of those things in the church, levels in the church of sainthood of all of those things, because we're all equal. But he says the servant without Christ versus a servant with Christ. There's a big difference in that. And the difference is Jesus is in the life now. So it's above just being a servant. He's not just a servant now. He's above a servant. He's a brother beloved. So this is the fifth reason that you should accept him back and that you should work on his life and that you should let him be in that place of being a brother in the Lord because he's saved now. He's not just a servant to you now. He's a brother in Christ. What are you going to do with him as a brother in Christ? Oh, he's above a servant. He's a brother beloved. And I think that's why he called him brother in the earlier verses, just so that when he talks about Onesimus now being a brother beloved, it would hit home, that it would just be in that place of having him realize, oh, he's a brother too. Oh. And sometimes we get attitudes towards people. We get attitudes towards people that we hear about, that we see, that we think aren't walking the way that we would have them walk. And we wonder if they're even brothers, but when the Lord says they're a brother or sister in Christ, then we should treat them the same as we do everybody else. It doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether they're a slave or a CEO. We should treat them all the same. There was one famous pastor in England, and one day the king had come into the court, and he had come to church, and everybody's all excited. And the deacons and the others came running up to the pastor, and they said, you've got to really preach a good sermon today because the king's in the church. And he said, the King of Kings should always be in my church. That put that one to rest right away. Don't give him a front row seat. You let him sit wherever, because the King of Kings gets honor here, not the King of England. Oh, Lord, help us to do that too. We're all equal in this. We're his. And he says he's a brother beloved, especially to me, because I led him to Christ, but now much more unto you. Oh, Philemon, he should be so much more unto you now, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He's going to be a blessing to you. He's going to work for you. He's going to work with you. He should be that blessing. So the fifth reason is that he's a brother in the Lord. And that should determine how he's going to minister to him. But he should minister to him as a brother in the Lord. He should minister to him as a person who is saved rather than somebody who isn't saved. Philemon, you're saved. So how are you going to treat your servants? And we see all the examples in earlier chapters as we've gone through them in earlier books and earlier letters of what masters should be doing with their employees. And he says in verse 17, if you count me therefore as a partner or as a fellow believer, then receive him as you would receive me. It says this in Matthew 10, verse 40. He says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Jesus saying that. Oh, were to receive him as we would receive Jesus. Oh. And then he says this in Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer, as we go through the Olivet discourse here, and it says the king with a capital K, so we know who it is, shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. Oh, Jesus takes account. Jesus notices how we're treating others. He cares how we treat others. He cares how we treat those that are closest to us. He cares about how we treat those that we don't even know by name. But he cares how we treat them. Are we treating them the way that we should? And Lord, forgive us for those times that we haven't treated people like we should have, that we got angry. I had to do that today. Got on a phone, had a trimmer that died in 5 months, took it back to the store. Oh, you've got a warranty. You've got to call the place that has that owns the policy on that. What? Why can't I just return it to you? Because it's not really ours. We're just doing it for the company. Ugh. 5 phone calls later, 2 hang-ups. Not by me. I finally get through. Well, we'll get you a new one. It'll be there in 3 weeks. There's going to be snow on the ground. What am I going to do with a trimmer? Oh, Lord, help me to treat them like you treat me. You don't yell at me. You're not upset with me. Oh, Lord, help me with it. And we go through those challenges all the time, don't we? Because we're growing. And Lord, help us to grow the right way. Help us not to grow the wrong way, but to grow the right way. And that's pretty much what Paul is telling Philemon here to do. And he says, if he has wronged you in verse 18, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Put that on my account. Put that in a place where I could just have that heart, that same heart that you have, Lord. I want this imputed to me. Receive him as myself. Reckon him to my merit. If he's wronged you, put that on my account. Impute that to me. This imputation in James chapter 2, verse 23, it says this. Well, let me pick up at verse 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him. Put that on my account. Impute that to my account. Put that on my account. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Put that on my account. And that's what Paul is saying here. God put that on his account for you and I. He said, how much more should we do that for those that are around us? That we wouldn't get upset with them, that we would instead be a friend to them like we are to our Lord. Oh, it says, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written this with mine own hand. I will repay it, because remember, he's had trouble writing in another's letters. See, he says, see, I've written these big letters with mine own hand just to say that this is the letter that I want sent to you. I haven't written the whole letter, but I'm signing it. But he says, Paul says, I've written this with my own hand. So evidently this trouble, this struggle physically that Paul had affected him, but he wrote this letter in his own hand. It was that important to him. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Remember, it was because of me you got saved, Philemon. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. As you take him back, it's going to be a refreshment to me to see that reunion, to see that joy come about, to see that place where this is going to happen in the right way. It's going to refresh me. And folks, that should happen for you and I as we see people get back together, as we see things happen. We've seen Diane's daughter, who didn't speak to her for years, come back and start talking to her and invite her over for dinner every once in a while. That should refresh us. That should be a blessing to us. That should encourage us. Yes, Lord, you are reconciling. You are doing these things. Lord, thank you for those things. So help us in that to be refreshed by others getting blessed. Let's not look at him and say, well, you're getting blessed and I'm not. What's the matter with you, Lord? Don't you like me anymore? It's not about us. It's about what the Lord is doing, and we should get refreshed in that. He says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto you, knowing that thou would also do more than I say. Not only are you going to do what I ask, but you're going to do more. You're going to do above and beyond what I'm asking you to do. I know your heart, Philemon, and I know you're going to do that. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. I want to come to you. I want to come spend time with you. He wants to see Onesimus, too. He wants to see the house church. He wants to be there and see all of that and see all the things that are going on in that place, the love that's manifested, the faith that's growing in that church and in that town. He wants to see all of that happening. And so he says, there salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. We see him in the book of Acts. We see Marcus and Aristarchus. We see those guys in the book of Acts also, and in Colossians, and Demas. Remember Demas? We saw him, but we saw him in a good light, but we've also seen him in a bad light. So this was written before Demas left him. But Demas was walking with the Lord. He was a blessing, but then he walked away. Said Demas had a love for the things of this world, and he walked away. Oh, how sad. We know those things are going to happen to people in the church. Those things are just a natural occurrence of events in life. But it should really bother us because they're walking away from the best life they can have, and they're walking to something worse. Demas had a love for the things of the world. What? Heaven wasn't enough for him? And for some, sometimes heaven isn't. They get offended, they get hurt, they get beat up, and they just surrender. And that should grieve us, and that should hurt us, and that should be part of our prayers. And for Lucas, my fellow laborers, and then he finishes up, as he does often, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Your spirit that's knit to the Lord, your spirit that's walking in the things of the Lord, may our spirits be knit to his spirit. What a letter. What an encouragement. But we see things happening in the world, and sometimes we don't understand, but just like we didn't understand, how could the Lord, because this guy's got a church house and he's got a slave that steals from him and runs away. Lord, how come bad things happen to good people so that others can get saved and come back and make things right? Sometimes bad things happen, but we still need to keep our focus on who Jesus is, and not on the things going on that are bad. It should hurt. It should break our hearts. But for them, because we still have a relationship with Jesus, we shouldn't let that affect our relationship with Jesus. We need to keep our focus and keep things straight. So, Father, thank you for this letter. Thank you for your teaching us, Lord. Thank you for your spirit. Fall upon us, Lord. Fill us afresh and just renew us and refresh us. Like Paul said, let this refresh me. Lord, let these words refresh us and strengthen us to go on and to keep going forward and to keep trusting you, that no matter what things look like around us, you're using them for a purpose. So help us to keep our relationship straight and pure and right, and not let those things affect us so that we affect others in the wrong way. Help us to be those that affect others in the right way. So help our hearts, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to those around us, to those we speak to those that we talk to, Lord. Help us to be that blessing. We love you. We thank you. Encourage and strengthen us now, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.